Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is July 31st, 2016, and this is episode 117, Signal to Noise, Making Sense of the Nintendo NX Rumors. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we're discussing all of the big hubbub surrounding the Nintendo NX rumors. So, buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, do you want to get us started today?
Yeah, Square Enix and Legendary Digital Studios have announced that they are adapting Life is Strange into a digital TV series. That's all we know right now, but I am super hyped for it. If you have yet to experience the amazingness that is Life is Strange, the first episode is now available for free. So you should check that out, but be prepared for some feels.
And when you say the first episode, in this context, you mean the first episode of the episodic game series,
yes.
Correct?
The first episode of Life is Strange, the game.
Excellent. Yeah, we are big fans of Life is Strange here on the show. I strongly encourage everyone to check it out, especially now that, you know, like Slaggy said, the entry point is free. We talked previously about the fact that PlayStation Vice President of Third Party Relations, Adam Boyes, announced that he was going to leave Sony to return to the world of game dev. We now know where he has ended up. Adam Boyes is now with Iron Galaxy as the new CEO. You're probably familiar with Iron Galaxy for their work on the Season 2 and 3 content of Killer Instinct, as well as their hit indie fighting game Dive Kick.
This image of them for, like, promotional purposes looks like they're doing a band album shoot.
Ah, see, I was gonna say they look like a spy team from, like, a sci-fi thriller movie.
So we have some numbers in for Pokemon Go. It has hit 75 million downloads worldwide, and considering that it's only been released in about 32 or 33 countries, I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, and that it reached 50 million downloads from Google Play, not even including iOS Store, in 19 days.
Yeah, that is wild. Like, truly, so many people playing this game. It's completely ridiculous. We also have word here of the next character joining into the Dissidia Final Fantasy arcade game. This character actually went live in Japan this weekend. This is Kane Highwind from Final Fantasy IV. Of course, Kane is a fan favorite character in Japan and worldwide. We are very eager to see footage of how he plays. You know, obviously there is like some basic footage, but I'm eager to see once like the high level players have really like mastered him. I think that's going to look really cool. We also have word here out of Valve that they are adding a virtual reality spectator mode to Dota 2. I think this is actually a really cool use of VR. Not all games are really going to adapt to VR necessarily super well, but to sort of let you like hop into the game world and watch the game as it's playing and spectate that way.
That's cute.
I think that's a great use of the technology.
Yeah. Speaking of great uses of technology, you might remember a long time ago, a group of modders were trying to make a mod for StarCraft 2 called StarCraft Universe. It started out as World of StarCraft, but that kind of made Blizzard's lawyers a little nervous. So, but actually, Blizzard was like otherwise pretty cool with it. It's finally getting ready for release. It's basically done, so you can try it out now, is what my understanding is.
Excellent. That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't downloaded this yet, but I am probably going to do so as soon as we're done here.
Yeah,
because
this
trailer's
like an
gorge.
Feat.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have word here that Little King's Story is going to be getting an HD remaster on PC on August 5th.
Oh, that's cute.
Going to be exciting, of course. You know, Little King's Story was a game that released in 2008, 2009 on the Wii, and it was, a really well-liked game. It's sort of like a kingdom builder sort of. Anyway, it's a really great game, and I love the fact that almost 10 years later, people are still about it.
Was that a WiiWare title?
Yes, I believe it was.
Yeah, I remember it coming out at the time and looking really cute. I just never got around to it, so I should do that.
Yeah, and in fact, actually, you know, I want to say, you know, it wasn't a WiiWare title. This was actually a full-on game.
Oh, I'm probably thinking Square Enix did something similar, My Life as a King or something.
Yeah, and you know, funny enough, they're actually somewhat similar games, so you could definitely be forgiven for that mistake.
So something that hopefully can be forgiven is that the Pokemon Go Plus accessory has been pushed back to September, so...
Boo. Of course, you know, we talked about this on the episode of the Stab podcast, that is the same type attack bonus podcast, that we recorded in the early hours of this morning, though ironically that episode will probably be posted before this episode.
I don't think there's anything ironic about that.
I suppose not. Either way, you know, it's always unfortunate when these things get pushed back, but clearly nobody was ready for just how successful Pokemon Go was going to be.
Yeah, that's almost an understatement. So good news for World of Warcraft fans who have pre-purchased the Legion expansion that's coming up at the end of August. If you are looking forward to playing a Demon Hunter, you'll be able to do that on August 9th. So I will be definitely doing that as soon as the servers go back up.
Yeah, and you know, something that does need to be noted here is that the Demon Hunter will be unlocking on August 9th for players who pre-purchased the Legion expansion. This will not be for the entire player base, but if you're planning on buying Legion anyway, this might be a good motivation to pre-order so that you can get a head start on leveling your character.
Yeah, I know people who buy the, like,
Collector's editions
and stuff, the physical copies, like, they're saying, oh, well, you can buy it digital and then we'll, like, refund you with, like, a free key or something, but so some people aren't so happy about that, but you know, I just did it digital, so whatever.
Yeah, since I go digital as well, I'm totally happy about it. We also have some release date news for y'all out there. First of all is that Berserk Musou, the upcoming title from Koei Tecmo that is obviously based on the quite popular Berserk manga and anime, is being delayed from a September 21st release in Japan to an October 27th release. This is going to be for the PS4, PS3, and Vita versions. According to Famitsu, this delay is happening so that they have additional time to improve quality of the game.
I'm like, they could do that if they didn't bother making a Vita version.
Oh, right.
Oh!
Or PS3, for that matter. We also have word here that the US version of Kingsglaive Final Fantasy XV, this is, of course, the CGI movie based on the Final Fantasy XV mythos and starring several characters from Final Fantasy XV, will be released digitally on August 30th, with a Blu-ray and DVD release occurring October 4th.
Oh, wow. Circle Entertainment's tactical 3DS title, Ambition of the Slimes, will be out in North America and Europe and the Oceania region on August 11th.
Excellent. You know, this is a game that wasn't super on my radar before, but...
Most definitely should have been.
Most definitely should have been. It looks really cute. It is a tactical type game about, like, slimes and being cute and having, like, what looks like a really cool, like, job-esque system involving using your slimes to, like, take over different class types. I'm definitely very interested. I will definitely be downloading this on August 11th. We also have word here that the well-loved Japanese series Ryuga Gotoku, also known in North America as Yakuza, will be getting its sixth iteration, The Poetry of Life, on December 8th. And this is going to be the last chapter for well-known and well-loved character Kazuma Kiryu.
But if you just can't get enough of him, we have the news that Yakuza 0 will be getting its PS4 North American and European release on January 24th, 2017.
Excellent. We also have word here that Rise of the Tomb Raider will be releasing on PS4 come October 11th, and it's going to have bonus PSVR modes and a new co-op experience for the game. And last but certainly not least, we have word here that Akiba's Beat will be releasing in Japan on PS4 and PS Vita on October 13th. Actually, that isn't last. I believe that you had one more piece.
Yeah, we have the announcement that Wave 7 of the LEGO Dimensions content, including Sonic and more, will be out on November 18th. Hey, that's kind of near Sonic's birthday, isn't it?
I believe it is. So, with that in mind, we actually have some news coming up that ties right into that. But first...
News. Oh my god, news.
All right, so during Comic-Con, there was a Sonic the Hedgehog event, and if you were one of the lucky people like me to watch it on the stream, it was...
Lucky is in quotations here, right?
It was kind of a mess in some ways. There was an hour-long DJ set to open the event, so people thought it was going to start at 6, but there was a DJ set that went on until like 7. There were some audio difficulties, so it was kind of a hot mess, except for the fact that the big reveal for the anniversary game that's been kind of teased over the past couple months is Sonic Mania. Now, this is a 2D Sonic game, basically in the true style of the original Genesis Mega Drive game. So it's not a Sonic 4 sort of thing. In fact, this was largely spearheaded by Christian Whitehead, who you might be familiar with from the spectacular Sonic CD port that he did, and some of the more recent mobile ports.
Yeah, so the thing about Christian Whitehead, he's also known as the Tax Man, and he has actually been well known in the Sonic fandom for basically creating an engine known as the Sonic Retro Engine that he sort of hand-coded to not just emulate, but actually recreate completely accurately the core Sonic games, you know, 1, 2, 3, and CD, to feature like a completely perfect recreation of the physics and sound effects of the original game, which quite notably have never been quite right in all of the various official Sega re-releases and emulations. He was the mind behind the Sonic the Hedgehog CD re-release for multiple platforms 5 years ago. And that was on like 360, PS3,
Steam, right?
Phones, Steam, yeah. And you know, everyone was remarking on, you know, how it was a fantastic port. And that's because Taxman understands Sonic. So the fact that he is the one that's behind Sonic Mania is the best possible news we could have for this being an authentic new retro Sonic experience.
Well, some new, because I guess you could say similar to Sonic Generations, but without all of the like meta lore and stuff, there will be some classic levels like Green Hill Zone. And so, I mean, like what they showed of Green Hill Zone looks like exactly perfect. And there's also going to be new zones, of course. So a mix of old and new. And you can play as Sonic, Tails, or Knuckles. So I think really this is kind of what people wanted that Sonic 4 didn't deliver on.
You know,
and Sonic 4 is its own game and it has its own strengths and weaknesses. But yeah. I think honestly, this is what the fan base has been waiting for.
Here's the thing. I like Sonic 4 generally. I don't think it's perfect in any way, but I mostly like it and enjoyed playing it. I definitely agree that this is what people wanted Sonic 4 to be. So I am absolutely stoked for Sonic Mania. We also got a tease for a Sonic 2017 game. It appears to be a sequel to Generations. It was announced at this same event. We'll talk about it more at a future date. But the big news for that was that the trailer for it also listed NX as a release platform. Indeed. And you know, we're talking about NX rumors here this week. One of the big things is that between this, of course, Just Dance got an announced NX version back at E3. A lot of people are speculating that, you know, maybe some of these announcements were supposed to have happened with the NX already unveiled, but, you know, as we all know, Nintendo delayed it from its 2016 release to early 2017. So,
yeah,
things have been shuffled a little bit, and I think that by now we were supposed to know a whole lot more about NX than we actually do.
But we maybe kind of do.
So,
and we also know some things about the future of the Layton series.
Indeed.
Because the...
Well done.
The new Layton game is going to be called Lady Layton. It is going to star Catley Ill Layton. That's the daughter of Professor Layton. She looks very fancy. And basically, we just know that it's coming to mobile devices and 3DS. And also the Japanese voice actors were announced, but I don't recognize any of them. Sorry. But I mean, it looks really cute. I really like Lady Layton's character design a lot. I love that a female character is getting to be the protagonist in, you know, a great series like this. So
Yeah.
Well done, Level 5.
Indeed. Speaking of Level 5, and you know, a lot of this news is coming out of the Level 5 World event.
Oh, that's right.
We also got the announcement of their next cross-media project. This is actually their fifth cross-media project, which is ridiculous. But this is called Megaton Musashi. This is a new mecha series. It's a sci-fi based on a world where 90% of mankind was destroyed by aliens, and now you're part of an elite squad, you know, trying to fight the aliens. We don't know all of the platforms that the game for this is going to be released on yet, but we do know it will be releasing on 360. Or, I'm sorry, 360. 3DS.
I'm like, Japan is releasing stuff on 360?
Ah! There is also going to be a manga running in Weekly Shonen Jump.
And a toy line, clearly.
And a toy line, an animated series, and Go Nagai will also be doing some mecha designs for this.
Oh.
Probably familiar with him from such classic anime and manga as Mazinger Z, Get a Robo, Devilman, and so on.
They're not messing around.
Yeah, right?
So well, it's level 5. I mean, exactly. How Yokai Watch has become a great success, so...
So, I'm super excited about this. I love level 5. I love giant robots. I love Go Nagai. I like manga and anime, like, cross series, cross-media series, that is. So I'm super stoked for this one.
And speaking of Yokai Watch, the original game, or a game based on the original 3DS version, is coming to iOS and Android in Japan this fall.
Excellent. That's great. And, you know, they're also going to be getting a Yokai Watch quiz game and a Yokai Watch rhythm game.
I need the rhythm game.
Right? The quiz game is Yokai Watch Daijiten. It'll be releasing in November. And the rhythm game is Yokai Watch Gerapo Rhythm. It's going to be the series' first rhythm game, although even though it's being reported that way, I'm giving it a bullet because there was the Yokai Watch spinoff for Just Dance released for the Wii U, and I think it's kind of silly to ignore that. But Gerapo Rhythm will be releasing in Japan in March 2017 for Android and iOS.
We also got a lot of new information about Snack World. So, you know, Snack World is the other cross-media project that is being worked on. So one of the things that's interesting is that there are keychain items called Jara, and these will be real items that connect with the games to acquire different weapons. So almost like a amiibo NFC sort of thing, apparently.
That's awesome. You know, I'm really excited about this. We got a new trailer for the CGI anime series that's releasing. We got gameplay footage of how the game will work, both on the mobile phone platform and the 3DS platform. It does appear to be the same game. Overall, I'm really hyped for this. I really hope it makes its way to North America.
Yeah, so the Japanese smartphone release will be next April, and then the 3DS release in July.
Excellent. We also got word of the upcoming beta for Fantasy Life 2. That actually started in Japan this weekend on smartphone. Fantasy Life 2 will, of course, be releasing in Japan on smartphone and 3DS in the future, but for now, the beta is only happening on Android and iOS.
Ubisoft has revealed a new Just game. In the family of Just Dance, it is Just Sing. So basically, it's a karaoke game where you use a app on your phone and the front-facing camera, kind of like, you know, selfie status, and you can either sing or lip sync. So it definitely ties into, you know, the selfie mania, you know, the selfie generation, or whatever you want to call that. It has a pretty good mix of, you know, what you'd expect from Just Dance games. There's, like, you know, Chandelier by Sia. There's Baby One More Time, I Will Survive, Colors of the Wind from Pocahontas. So what does the fox say? So, you know, definitely the type of mix of songs that you're used to from Just Dance. So if you like those games' soundtracks and you want to sing them, Just Sing.
Yep, that'll be releasing on PS4 and Xbox One on September 6th. So...
Oh, perfect. In time for people's birthdays.
Yep. We also got word of a new Hearthstone adventure. This is going to be Hearthstone One Night in Karazhan. And this is basically a disco dance party taking place in Karazhan, the night of the Wizard Medivh's annual party. This adventure is going to be going live on August 11th. It has 4 wings and will cost $20 as a straightforward purchase, or you can buy each wing individually for 700 gold or $7 a piece.
All right.
It's going to add 45 new cards to the game, two of which you will get just as you start playing.
That's awesome. It looks very silly and quirky, and I'm looking forward to it. So Roll20, which you might be familiar with as being an online virtual tabletop for doing pen and papers type stuff on the interwebs, has announced licensing with D&D. So the Dungeons & Dragons content is now available in Roll20. It's already been available on the Fantasy Grounds platform, but Roll20 has been a really popular way to do online role-playing. And
yeah.
So now you can use actual Dungeons & Dragons content.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Obviously, I expect a lot of people have been using this platform and platforms like it to do exactly this, but I think it's really cool that this is going to really be happening in like an official way. I know a lot of my friends that love Dungeons & Dragons, they're upset they don't have local groups to play. I think this tech is so awesome. I'm super stoked about this.
Yeah, totally.
And last, but certainly not least, we have word of a sequel to Pac-Man Championship Edition. This is Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. It's going to be releasing on PS4, Xbox One, and PC this September, and it looks bonkers. I'm a huge fan of the original Championship Edition, as well as the follow-up Championship Edition DX. I think that this new version looks even more over the top and absurd, and I just cannot wait for this to release.
Yeah, Pac-Man's actually one of those franchises that's actually done some fun things.
Yeah,
we haven't done a Pac-Buoy yet.
Maybe someday. But before then, we actually have some news for you that is quite
controversial.
Oh my god.
And wouldn't you know it, half of it's about Pokemon.
Ah! Well, why don't you get things going here?
Yeah, so you might have noticed, if you're one of the 75 million plus people playing the game, that the three paw prints or three steps glitch has been, kind of affecting the game and how to find Pokemon. The little number of paw prints or footprints was supposed to represent about a 100 meter radius. And then it's just stopped working. So in the latest update, that has been taken out completely. The nearby Pokemon is just within a 70 meter radius from what I can understand now. But a lot of people complaining that this is definitely making it not really easy to find the Pokemon they want, and that it just really hasn't been communicated clearly.
Yeah, we talked a lot about this on the Same Type Attack bonus podcast. You might, if you want to hear more of this, go check that out. Something that's interesting that's actually happened between when we recorded that somewhat 13 hours ago and now is that we actually now have word that PokeVision, the website that players were using to, sort of get around how buggy the hunting system in Pokemon Go has been for quite some time now, has been taken offline. The PokeVision Twitter has said that for the moment they are respecting Niantic and Nintendo's wishes and have the service down. A lot of people feel that there was probably the threat of a lawsuit. From a tech level, there isn't a whole lot of indication that they couldn't continue doing PokeVision, but for now, it is down.
Yeah, and how litigious Nintendo gets with Pokemon. Remember when we talked about how they shut down a PAX event because it had Pokemon on the flyer?
Yeah.
To do that?
Well,
so, like, they don't mess around with Pokemon.
And so many fans and players are so unhappy that they are now at this point requesting refunds from the Google Play and iTunes stores, basically saying that, the latest update broke the game for them. They can no longer enjoy the game that they paid money to enjoy the way that they want to. They want a refund, and, people are actually quitting the game over this. I personally know people who have quit the game over this now. That last night, again, when we were recording Stabcast, were talking about how, I'm upset, but whatever. Now they're like, after the PokeVision takedown, they're like, I'm done. Like, I can't play the game this way. This isn't fun for me. I know Solker was here in studio earlier today. There was on the radar a Snorlax, but the fact is, in my area, you can't just go hunting for Pokemon without some guidance or something. So, it's like, you need to know where you're going. You need to know where these Pokemon are. And with no tools, you can't really just wander you're around here, pulling out your phone every 20 steps to see where you are. That just, that don't work in this neighborhood. So
yeah,
it's you know, it's really sad that people who love this game and really enjoy this game and have put money and time into this game and have, you know, pimped it out to their friends and formed podcasts because of the fanaticism this game has inspired, even those people are having trouble sticking with it with all of these, this kerfuffle.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I definitely sympathize with people who are frustrated with it, but unfortunately there are also people who are like straight up reporting Niantic to the Better Business Bureaus and complaining, and a Brazilian group of hackers appeared to hack John Henke's Twitter. And,
and who is John Henke?
He is the I believe CEO of Niantic, and yeah, so they're basically like, this is for the gamers, and I'm like, you know, so I mean, I totally like understand if people are like unhappy and voicing their displeasure, but like, you know, people straight up hacking, you know, the main people in Niantic, it's like, don't ruin this for those of us who are still trying to enjoy it, you know.
Well, you know, I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you. I think it is appropriate to report Niantic to the Better Business Bureau if you feel that you have spent
money. I'm talking about
money.
The hacking.
Hold on, let me get there. You package them together, I'm packaging them together. You know, reporting them to the Better Business Bureau makes sense. If you've put money into this app and now they have broken it and you no longer feel that that money was well spent, that's something that, that's what, you know, programs like the Better Business Bureau are for. If you feel that you have a legitimate complaint about a business's practices and you feel that you're not being heard, that's what that is for. As far as the hacking goes, you know, you're saying don't ruin it for other gamers out there. Hacking his Twitter does not do anything to the other gamers out there.
I know, unless Niantic and Nintendo get pissed off about it and like, okay, we're just taking it away.
I don't think that's how business works. I don't think that's something that's going to happen.
And this is why I'm not a business person.
I am not defending the action of hacking Homeboy's Twitter. Obviously, I think that's inappropriate completely, but I can't come down too hard on it because people are mad about this, and I think rightfully so.
Oh, it's understandable. I mean, I'm not going to stop playing, but I definitely understand where people were coming from. I hope that they still find a vector to enjoy it in the future, maybe, or that at least their interest has been piqued and that they might give something like Sun and Moon a chance.
You know, I'll continue playing. I like Pokemon Go, and I play a lot more casually than a lot of these folks anyway, but I do think that this has had a negative impact on the game. I do think the game is lesser for this, and I think that sucks.
Yeah, I saw a kind of a funny meme. Who knows if it was actually any truth to it, but someone was like, I wish there was a version of Pokemon Go where I could just move the character around myself and not have to go in the real world. And someone was like, oh, that's called Pokemon. It's been around for 20 years.
All right, well, I don't want to linger here any longer.
Do you have to let it linger?
In other controversial news, we have word here, and this actually happened from announcement to release in the time in between last episode and this episode. Basically, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2 were announced for HD re-releases on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. This is obviously, you know, super exciting. Lots of people are really happy about this. Unfortunately, the games released in a somewhat flawed state. You know, they weren't complete editions as far as, like, there was DLC missing. The PC release was very buggy. You know, a lot of people calling it the worst PC port of the year, and we've had some pretty bad PC ports this year. People are just overall very disappointed because, you know, this product is retailing $40 each game, or $60 if you buy them together. So, you know, that's a considerable investment for these games that are, you know, 10 years old practically. And for them to be releasing in the state that they're in, people are very disappointed. But Marvel Games creative director Bill Roseman promises that they are working with Activision to get all of the DLC included in the game, and for the PC version to get patched up and fixed.
Oh, so, good. Those games are a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of those games, so fingers crossed that these fixes come through quick.
Some people say there's no hope for the game.
Because the character Hope isn't present in it. LOL. No one even remembers who Hope is anymore. It's 2016.
She's the baby, right? The baby Hope?
Yeah, yeah. And then she came back, and she was basically Lil Jean Grey, except she had the ability to copy other mutants' powers, and now she basically doesn't exist.
I gave him a Marvel Legendary once with Steve with Jason, and we had to rescue the baby Hope, and I think we failed.
Probably. So we also have word here about the death of the online functionalities of Disney Infinity.
More like Disney not Infinity?
You tried. So basically, as of September 30th, you will no longer be able to log in and play Disney Infinity on PC, iOS, Google Android, and Amazon Android devices. The Steam versions of Disney Infinity 2.0 and 3.0 will remain operational, with the exception of online services and functionalities that will be discontinued as of that date. Apple TV versions of Disney Infinity will be removed from the App Store, and new toy boxes will no longer be approved or available on any platform. You will be able to continue downloading the already existent toy boxes until March 3rd, after which point even that will be removed. The TLDR here is that Disney Infinity on its way out, we already knew that, but it is the online stuff, which is in many ways the core of the game, are going to be available for significantly shorter than any of us expected.
Yeah.
Most of us thought we'd get like a year of use out of the Disney Infinity 3.0 stuff, and it turns out that's not really going to be the case.
Cool! Yeah, that's, they invested a lot in trying to make this a thing, so... Womp womp.
Yeah. We also have word here, last but, you know, also least, that well-known and well-liked Twitch streamer Summit1G was broadcasting a Pokego hunt at a local park last week, or this week, I should say, this past week, and it was actually interrupted by a SWAT effort. Someone who was watching his stream swatted him, you know, told the police that he had an AK-47, that he was going to plant remote bombs in the park, and was actively setting a trap to kill cops. Fortunately, when the police arrived on the scene, Summit was very calm. He made some very privileged remarks, of course, because fortunately, Summit is a white gamer. He was, you know, oh yeah, we just have to stay calm. The police are going to be cool. We'll get through this. It's going to be fine. But quite a few people have noted, you know, that while Summit was okay, if he had been a person of color, this could have been a very sad story.
Yeah.
So just an absolute mess. If you're out there, you think swatting is like funny or fun, it's a cool prank or whatever, don't do it. It's a real asshole move. And at some point, someone's going to get effing killed. And
yeah.
Don't contribute to that. On the other side, though, you know, we talk about our frustrating and controversial stuff. We actually have a pretty good smash hit for you this week. And, you know, usually smash hits are news articles that we think are worth reading for people who are interested in the craft of games journalism. But we want to point out a really cool entry here on Yacht Club Games blog. And this is actually about the Japanese localization of Shovel Knight. They have done some really cool stuff for the Japanese localization of Shovel Knight, and they did this really cool blog post where they basically note historical localization changes that happened when bringing games from Japan
it's
to North America.
Buoy.
Yeah, this is a very Game Buoy-esque blog post, and basically they reverse localized Shovel Knight in the style of an 8-bit localization. So, you know, the way that we would get, like, animation improvements in sprites, we would get, you know, different art assets that were made to appeal more to, like, American audiences, you know, onigiri being changed to hamburgers or donuts or what have you. They basically did that stuff in reverse. So definitely some really exciting stuff going on here. I'm a big fan of this. And Yacht Club being the actual best, they are including this stuff in an update for English and North American players. So if you're really upset, you want to see these cute little changes, none of which impact gameplay, all you have to do is change your game's language to Japanese, and it will include all of this cool Japanese language stuff, including, you know, carrots being changed to daikon radishes, gold coins being changed to koban coins, just a whole lot of, like, user interface changes as far as, like, the size of character portraits and text boxes. This is a real effort of love type stuff. It's very exciting, and I strongly recommend that you check this blog post out.
Yeah, very cute job.
All right, with all of this having been said, let's start our discussion. I want to start off, though, by encouraging you all to check out an article on Eurogamer.net. Eurogamer, of course, is one of the big sites for legitimate gaming news. Obviously, you know, they used to run on like a magazine and everything. Eurogamer's a big deal.
Yeah, US Gamer is their US buddy. And, you know, a lot of former 1UP folk over at US Gamer. So Eurogamer, good people.
So we're linking you to this article. You can find the link over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
The article is titled, Nintendo NX is a portable console with detachable controllers. And basically, Nintendo. Eurogamer has done this entire gigantic article basically talking about what they call rumors that they have sourced with many of their contacts. And the thing is, you've probably seen this article linked all across Twitter and other social media. All of the big gaming sites have linked it. Silicon Era, Kotaku,
yep.
US Gamer, everywhere that's reputable has linked this. And that, to us, gives it a lot of legitimacy. You know, a lot of times these games journalists or what have you have a lot of information that they can't talk about publicly because it's under embargo or what have you. When these reports get published like this, it typically means they heard this rumor, they're not under an embargo for this specific information, and so they're pushing it because they know it to be true. And that is sort of what a lot of people are taking this instance to be. So, Saigi, if you want to talk a little bit about the actual content of the rumors, and then I want to talk about the nature of the rumor a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, for a long time, a lot of us had suspected that the NX was going to be some sort of hybrid, in that whether it was going to be a family of consoles where there was some interaction, or whether it was going to be a portable you could plug into your TV or something. And basically, it is looking like it is going to be a very high-powered handheld console that has detachable controller add-ons on the side, and then it also has like a dock unit for the television that may most likely have additional processing power or graphical power.
Indeed, and you know, the interesting thing about the idea of the base and that the idea that it could make the console more powerful is that Nintendo has actually filed a lot of patents around that kind of technology.
Yeah, we even see Razer, I believe, is doing something like that for a external external graphics
video card. Yeah,
enclosure. So we're definitely getting to the point where like modular sort of
hardware design.
Yeah,
yeah. I know AMD had a concept spec for that. I don't know that it made it to market, but
oh, is that really cool modular PC where you would like just plug in different little units?
Yeah. So this, you know, we have this tech. It does exist, and basically, word on the street is that Nintendo's going to be using the Tegra processor, but that this is actually probably going to be the Tegra X2. And what's interesting about that is that even toned down, the X2 would be, I mean, more powerful than the Wii U, for example, by far. So imagine a portable console by Nintendo more powerful than the Wii U that also would probably have better battery life than the 3DS currently does. And you start seeing why people are so excited about these rumors. You know, obviously another big part of the rumor is that it is using cartridge-based media. And this is also not really that new because the trademark for Breath of the Wild includes wording for it to be a cartridge-based game. And Nintendo's usual wording for home console trademarks only refers to digital download and discs, which this trademark also referred to. So they specifically included language about a cartridge-based game that does not exist in their standard trademark information for individual games. We also know, you know, that there have been a lot of Nintendo R&D on cartridge technology in the last couple of years. So basically, these reports are coming and they match everything that we know and that we've suspected based on real information and evidence. And that's sort of what makes this rumor worth talking about. It is technically a rumor, but when this many voices are pointing in the same direction, this many pieces of information pointing in the same direction, it's hard not to start thinking that this is probably, if not the real deal, then certainly on the path of the real deal. So with that having been said, you know, it is a rumor, but that's why we're all putting so much stock into it. Slaggy, I want to know, first I want to know what you think about it in terms of believability, and then what you think about the NX, if this is what it is.
Well, I mean, if I think about it from a business perspective, the 3DS is hugely successful. The DS was hugely successful. But aside from the Wii, which, you know, just happened to strike a chord with everybody, they have not had the best luck in the console, the home console market. I mean, the GameCube was not super successful. The Wii U has not been super successful. I mean, I even feel like N64, you know, when you compare it to PlayStation.
And Saturn.
Oh, Saturn, but, you know, so, I mean, honestly, I feel like this is probably the smartest move that Nintendo could do at this point. You know, I've seen a lot of people complaining about, in regards to these rumors, like, oh, the home console is going to be underpowered, but, you know, I think what's really interesting is this almost seems like a response to the confusion and kind of people not really knowing how to work with the Wii U and the gamepad. By, you know, like, people were confused, like, oh, the gamepad's not a portable, I can't just take it wherever I go. And so it almost seems to be kind of revising what they were hoping to accomplish with the Wii U, but you know, in another way, also really push for, you know, portability, which, you know, has been really, they've had success with all of their Game Boy, well, not our beloved Virtual Boy, but you know, all their Game Boy consoles and DS consoles have all been successful. And I mean, especially when you consider how huge handheld gaming is in Japan, I mean, it just seems like a no-brainer that this is somewhere on the ball.
Yeah, and you know, I don't think I could possibly iterate all of the reasons why I think this is a good business choice, but one of the big things, of course, is that we have countless indications from within Nintendo that you know, they're lining up their software generation by, you know, sort of having a single output of games rather than producing for, you know, multiple platforms, which has been an issue where basically if they're really focused on the 3DS side, then that side gets supported and the Wii U flounders. When they're putting out tons of games for the Wii U, they're relying completely on third parties for 3DS output because they can't produce for both at the same time. Many people have remarked that this would really be a platform that the Japanese game third-party games developers could support and would have the singular attention of Nintendo and creating games that are effectively both portable games and console games.
I mean, for me, when you look at the library of things that have been portable games historically and the things that have been console games historically, like, that's all going to be folded into one big library. And things like Monster Hunter, for example, I mean, we've seen Monster Hunter basically be regulated to only portable because the console versions never did well. But now with, you know, this sounding and pretty credible.
I need to add with a bullet, it's not that they never did well. It's that in the recent generations, home console attach rates and adoption rates are very low in Japan. And Japan is where Monhunt is big.
Right. So, I mean, that being said, if this really is as credible as we believe it to be, if you really like that experience of playing Monhunt on your TV, you'll be able to do that. And I mean, the implications, I think, are huge. I mean, people have been wanting a way to play, you know, a mainline Pokemon game on a home console. And I mean, if you think of the processing power of the Wii U being, I mean, we already know that Sun and Moon is the next generation, but, you know, thinking ahead to the generation after that, I mean, maybe people will be getting that full 3D Pokemon, beautiful, immersive adventure that they've been dreaming of forever.
Well, and you know, it's interesting you bring up Sun and Moon, because when the day this rumor broke, my first thought was of Sun and Moon. And, you know, a lot of us were really surprised that Sun and Moon is a 3DS game rather than an NX game. But now that we have this idea of how powerful the NX is going to be, I understand why they pushed the next gen on 3DS.
Yes.
I almost said 360 again.
Oh, no.
We understand now, to me a little bit, why they would push it to 3DS, because if this new console is going to be that powerful, expectations are going to be high for the next Pokemon experience after Sun and Moon to be huge. People are going to want it to be like a full-on 3D JRPG experience. And I think that's going to take several years for them to craft. And right. By getting this gen out now, they would be really making that space for themselves to have a couple of years before the next generation needs to hit.
And, you know, I think just looking at their first-party titles alone, things like Mario Party, Mario Kart, you wouldn't be getting like, oh, well, the handheld versions are maybe a little bit pared down in some ways. Like, Mario Kart 9 will just be, you know,
Step from Mario Kart 8 rather than, you know, Mario Kart 7, which was a 3DS game and felt like a little bit of a pared down Mario Kart experience. Although I thought it was a fantastic game. The idea of Nintendo only having to do one game per generation rather rather than the current two is an idea that I think personally is very exciting.
Even when you think about things like, 3D Land, 3D World, New Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers Wii, you know, like, not saying that, like, any of those, like, were not warranted, but, I mean, imagine, like you said, focusing the development on one title for the NX, and then, hey, maybe there could be a new Metroid game.
Well,
maybe there could be a new Kid Icarus game, or, you know.
Well, and that's the flip side to that. If they don't need to be developing two iterations of every game, one for handheld and one for console, requiring completely different development processes and completely different developer timelines, it would free up teams to make more content and more new content as well. So it would create a scenario where I think rather than getting Kart 3DS and Kart Console, we would get a Kart game and another Nintendo racing game.
Yeah.
And what do you think that Nintendo racing game would be?
Diddy Kong Country. I mean, Diddy Kong Racing.
You know, it's funny because you say Diddy Kong Racing. I was trying to guide the conversation toward F-Zero, but I would rather have a new Diddy Kong Racing than a new F-Zero. Come at me, I don't care. I love F-Zero. I strongly feel there needs to be a new F-Zero. Diddy Kong Racing was fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, like, things like Mario Party, although, I mean, that's also going to be interesting to think about how, like, multiplayer games will be impacted by this.
Well, and, you know, that's another thing, is that a lot of people have long been suspecting, and let me step back, you know, on this rumor, the idea that this is a portable console, uses the weird detachable controllers that appear, is in all the copyright, and all of the trademark papers and documentation,
patents
and what have you, you know, to be more like a D-pad with 2 to 4 buttons on each one. But a lot of people have been speculating that this would probably pair with the Wii U Classic controller based on the fact that Zelda Breath of the Wild for Wii U uses the Classic controller, and it's unlikely that Nintendo would step back from that with their user interface. And that's something that I agree. So I get the feeling personally that for at-home playing Mario Party, you would just use, pro controllers, basically. And I don't see why that would be problematic in any way, shape, or form. It would be a very similar experience to what we already have. But
yeah,
with the added bonus that if you and I were on the BART train going to Berkeley or something, and we're like, oh, I have my NX, you take a detachable controller, I'll take a detachable controller, and we could also play Mario Party on the go.
Yeah, it'll just be really interesting to see. I mean, for like certain games, you know, like platformers, even racing games, I mean, it's not really going to, I don't think, affect it, but for things like where Mario Party has been historically a everyone in the same living room sort of experience. So it'll be interesting to see how the design philosophy changes. But I mean, even
I don't see why it still wouldn't be.
I'm just saying, like, just if they take into consideration the portability and stuff, but
then it would be like a handheld multiplayer game. You know, there were things in Japan, like when Monster Hunter was big on PSP and 3DS, and still is, where Monster Hunter cafes popped up for people to meet up with their portable hardware to link play, or, you know, the Wi-Fi play or whatever, multiplayer Monhun. I think we'll see that pop up with a lot of these Nintendo multiplayer experiences. Everyone will bring their NX handheld unit, and they'll all be playing games together, and rather than being like a pared-down portable version, it'll just be, oh, we're playing actual Smash Brothers on our own little screens right now, rather than, you know, the pared-down experience of Smash 3DS.
Oh, that's true. I mean, I guess, just seeing it on your own screen isn't gonna be that big of a deal.
In fact, if anything, it would also open up opportunities, I think, to bring into play a asymmetric gameplay experience like we had on some of the best games of the Wii U.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So if anything, I think this opens up more options. Like, could you imagine if you brought your NX over, I had mine cradled, connected to the TV, we're all playing Mario Party, and you're on your NX handheld playing with us, but in
but I'm
an
Bowser,
asymmetrical
like,
form.
Dropping bombs on you.
Exactly. This form factor and having this kind of cross-play compatibility,
like,
is,
Wii
if nothing else,
there.
A great idea. And yeah, Wii U was so close to being there.
I'm just curious about Just Dance, how that's going to work on the go.
You know, on the go, it might not be a fun experience, but presumably, you know, the NX will have a camera on its face. Presumably, the controllers will have motion sensing to some degree. So, you know, while it might not be like a great experience, it is an experience you could probably have.
Maybe it'll be like the new selfie Just Sing thing. You'll just have to like hold your phone and selfie with it and be like, hey, hey.
But and that's the thing, is that even though all games could be played on the go, theoretically, that doesn't mean all games will be designed that way. So, you know, I don't think that just because a game wouldn't play optimally that way means that it's not going to happen. Just, you know, not all experiences will be suited to all form factors, and I don't see the problem with that. I've seen a lot of people saying that, you know, NX going this route will by definition mean all games will be designed to play as portable games. I don't agree there. I think people will, you know, devs will continue to make some games for portable, some games for console, but it'll be in your hands if you want to play a game on the go or connected to a TV. And again, I'm always a fan of player choice. Give me that option. If I want to play Breath of the Wild on the go, I'll play it on the go. If I want to play it on my TV, I'll play it on my TV.
You know, what I think it's also going to be interesting is that, you know, we've thought of, take something like Zelda, where the handheld experience has traditionally been very different, not counting things like Ocarina and Majora's Mask 3D, but, you know, they've historically been a very different experience. If you like go back to Link's Awakening and things like Minish Cap, I mean, I feel like there will still be room for things like that. It's just that, oh, we'll have a like top-down Zelda with a retro throwback aesthetic and a super, you know, Breath of the Wild pretty Zelda, you know. So I think these sorts of experiences that used to be more unique to the handheld platforms, you know, in some ways beginning due to, you know, limitations in processing power and graphical power, I still think there's room for things like that.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Especially with the climate of, you know, how much we love our retro throwbacks.
Right. And well, you know, and something else that's being argued or being forgotten, I feel, when people make that argument authentically is that, you know, there's a whole like eShop type game that people now expect, where these smaller 2D experiences should maybe be a little cheaper and sold as digital. I think that those games still exist. There's still obviously a thriving market for it and even a way to get people interested in them. So I definitely don't think that having 3D Zelda on the go would mean no more 2D Zelda. If anything, I actually think it would help strengthen the market for that by giving a more specific niche to those titles.
Indeed.
So let's then say, obviously we just heard, Saigi, what you think. I want to know, are you happy with this? If this does turn out to be completely authentic and legit, do you think this is a good angle for Nintendo?
Like I said, I think it's the smartest thing they could do. And I, like, my thing is, it's already going to be, we know it will be better if, I mean, it's going to have to be better, like, looking or whatever than the Wii U, at least by a little bit. And the Wii U already has, like, really pretty games. Like, I feel like at this point, you know, yes, it's not going to look like an Xbox Scorpio or a PlayStation 4K or what is theirs called? I don't even remember at this point.
Neo.
I'm just taking it to a Matrix place. You know, who cares? I'm sorry. Like, I'd rather have Nintendo have good experiences. And at this point, if we're getting better than Wii U graphics on a handheld, I mean, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Plus, you know, if they do go with the X2 Tegra chip, a lot of people, including Digital Foundry, big ups to them. They are like masters at like looking at frame rate and chip performance, heat draw, power load, all that. And they basically had a very compelling argument for why this would actually probably be producing games that look better than what we see on the Xbox One. And if that's the case, then I think Nintendo putting out a console that when connected to the TV looks better than the Xbox One, I think that's a slam dunk for Nintendo personally.
I mean, here's the thing, do we really need games to look real? I mean, is that the point where...
Well, and Nintendo games are never going to look real.
Yeah, like, I don't want the Mushroom Kingdom to look like I'm stepping outside.
Well, and whether you want to or not, that's clearly not Nintendo's goal. Like, even more, like, they like their aesthetic, and I think they're very good at executing it.
I mean, we're at the point where, you know, we don't have like jaggy polygons on stuff really anymore for the most part. Like, I mean, stuff looks pretty. Like, just calm down, people.
Yeah, seriously. So I'm obviously very happy about this. I feel like, because, you know, I as I've talked about here on the show, I am a commuter. I'm on a train several hours a day every day of the week. For me, this would be a godsend if I could be playing my Monster Hunter or my, you know, Breath of the Wild on my train, pop it back into my backpack, get home, you know, cradle it in its docking station, and then begin playing my same game, my same save without any, you know, transferring of software. No, like, connect this to this, transfer the save, reload it, reconfigure it. It's just plug and play, easy peasy, playing, you know, going from on the go to couch play. Then for me, this would be a revelation. This would by far be my new most played hardware without question. So for me, this is a slam dunk. And I think that what I just said also applies applies quite importantly to a lot of the Japanese audience. And, you know, you look at the PlayStation 4, for example, it's a huge hit worldwide. Millions and millions and millions of units sold worldwide. But in Japan, it's only moved around 4 million. And the thing is, the PS4, given how popular it is everywhere else, that's actually a low number. There are more PS Vitas. There are like twice as many PS Vitas in play in Japan than there are PS4s. So I think really all of the hardware manufacturers are probably looking at how could we crack the Japanese market for a home console release. And to me, I think maybe Nintendo has it. You know, I've heard a lot of people online, a lot of haters, trying to look at, like, Nintendo has indicated they haven't announced the NX quite yet because they don't want to see it copycatted. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, head up their ass for, oh my god, graphics wars, system wars, why would anyone copy the NX? I don't think this is a good idea. No, this is a very good idea. It is absolutely in Sony's best interest to find a way to sell a console to the Japanese market. And if Nintendo just cracked it, you know, continue to expect to see Manhunt on Nintendo platforms and nowhere else.
And I even see Atlas probably working a lot closer with Nintendo.
Well, and you say a lot closer, but they're already very close with Nintendo in the modern age.
But I mean, like, straight up Persona on NX. Like, I could see that being...
Well, don't forget, we had Persona spinoffs on 3DS. So the idea of NX getting Persona software is not that unusual.
I'm saying, like, mainline.
Well,
like,
you're saying mainline, and I think we will see a Persona 5 Golden on NX in, you know, 2017. To me, it's almost a no-brainer, because we do get typically the portable ports of the Persona games. I don't think we're going to get a portable port of 5 on Vita, so where are they going to put it to tap the portable market? As long as people buy the NX in Japan, I think that's where it's going to end up.
So what do you think the price point on a piece of hardware like this would run?
You know, so much of that is variable. I think the sweet spot is going to be between $200 and $250, as far as, you know, $200 to $250. I can't imagine it going over $300. I could see it at $299, but I can't imagine it any more than that. But I think if Nintendo really wants to slay, they're going to try to go as low as $150 to $200.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that that's something that's strictly attainable. A big part of it's going to really depend on how good of a deal they got on the Tegra chips from NVIDIA. But again, you know,
NVIDIA was like really struggling to find a partner for those Tegras.
Well, and that's exactly, we know that NVIDIA put in huge chip orders for Tegra that are still unfulfilled to this date. And AMD, when they've had big chip orders that they've reneged on, have been slapped with fines in the hundreds of millions of dollar range. So a lot of people feel Nintendo may have gotten a sweetheart deal out of this for pimping the Tegra tech. And if that's true and Nintendo got, you know, a real good deal, we know Nintendo's not going to sell at a loss, but they might be able to sell at a small profit while keeping the price very low. Obviously, you know, a lot of this is speculation, and the way these markets work is very, very hard to accurately predict. There are a lot of factors in play here that indicate that, you know, this could be priced at that $200 mark, which I still think would be sweet spot for a lot of people.
What do you think about the criticism that some fans are saying, like, oh, but I just want my Nintendo device that's going to run GTA and Call of Duty?
The problem with that is that there would need to be, you know, people who want to port GTA and Call of Duty to Nintendo hardware. And the reality is, we're not going to get that. Activision does do their half-assed ports of Call of Duty that sometimes, despite being half-assed in a lot of ways, come out better because of Nintendo's, you know, unique control schemes. Looking at you, Wii versions of Call of Duty Blops, for example. But let's be real. What people want when they say that is not something they're going to get even if Nintendo put out a more powerful console than the PC I run right now. The reality is, it's not just a power issue that's preventing these games from coming to Nintendo hardware. And the sooner everyone accepts that, the better off we're all going to be with our expectations.
I mean, I almost wonder if it's people saying, like, I would buy a Nintendo console if I could get all of the other experiences that I want on console gaming, but I don't want to but I value those over having a Nintendo console. I think that's what people are really saying.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm hearing. And the reality is, for those people, Nintendo just has to wow those people on their own merits. And I don't even know that that's something that can actually be done. But those people, they're not going to come over just because a box is more powerful. They're not. It's just another shitty excuse. And I don't think those people are actual Nintendo fans that actually want this hardware. I think they're just looking for a way to complain on the internet in 2016. 2019.
All right.
All of that having been said, obviously, we'd be happy to hear what any of all y'all out there in internet radio land have to say about this topic.
In fact, we have a few tweets in response to the question of the week.
All right. What was that question of the week?
Have you heard the hot gossip about the NX? Tell us what you think about it, because that's our question of the week. Must Love Games says, I do not comment on rumors and speculation, winky face. And ActDev says, I kind of actually like the idea of the console being a portable too. Hopefully Nintendo can capitalize on that. So yeah, I mean, it's looking like, I think everyone's looking at September when we're going to be getting a big reveal. That's kind of where the inklings.
Yeah. So all signs are pointing now to a late August, early September unveiling.
Well, like Tokyo Game Show time.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. So I can't wait. I am so eager. If this is what NX is, not only do I think Nintendo has a chance at, you know, not like dominating the world, but again, making a healthy profit, which is all they ever need to do, but also really making what for me is the ideal game experience. Again, for the ways that my life works, this is what would work best. So I am so eager to hear more.
Yeah, I mean, it matches up with what we've kind of anticipated, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, it really has. And, you know, I think it's interesting. I have seen some people, obviously, even in feedback on, you know, this question of the week, talking about how, you know, they're not interested in rumors and speculation, as you say. People, you know, talking about, you know, this problem or that. But I think that this is potentially a really great choice. And I think it's interesting that a lot of our listeners have also agreed that, you know, they think Nintendo could capitalize on this idea. Even people who I typically don't think of as Nintendo supporters. So, again, I think they're really onto something.
I do, too.
All right. Do you have anything else on this discussion?
No, I think it's time to start the wrap-up with the What's Up.
All right. This week, speaking of Monhun, because I know I name-dropped it multiple times in that discussion, you know, obviously it's one of the big key titles in a discussion like this, because it is a game series that used to be based on consoles. It's now based on portable hardware. I've been playing Monhun Generations. I'm loving it. I think it's really great. I think it's the best Monhun has ever been. I think it's the easiest entry point for people who have always wanted to get into Monhun but have never been able to. I think it's an absolutely great experience, and I'm hoping Monhun 5 comes out for NX and is announced at Tokyo Game Show. I think that would be a fantastic step. I've also been playing a lot of WoW, working on leveling another 100 before Demon Hunters go live. I am a crazy person, so let's see. And we also have played a lot of Smash in the last couple of weeks. It's none of your business.
I want to know.
It's none of your business.
I'm your guildmate.
It's none of your business.
Okay, tell me about your smashing.
I've also been playing a lot of Smash, working on a couple of characters I didn't used to play a whole lot of, primarily Mega Man, actually. I'm trying to get my Mega Man up and strong, because after that point, I will have a good understanding of most of the roster, and that's something that's been kind of my goal. I think that in order to really elevate your play, one of the important things you need to do is really familiarize yourself with the ins and outs of all of the other characters and really learn those matchups. So that's been a real focus for me lately. What about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing World of Warcraft, but it's none of your business.
Okay.
I'm definitely excited for Demon Hunters as well. I'm really hoping that Demon Hunters deliver on what I hope they do, and if they're as fun as they seem like they're gonna be, I'm gonna probably play that as my main character for Legion. But I've got like, what, 700s at this point now?
Wow.
Because I had my Shaman was first, and then I had my DK, my Druid, my Hunter, my Monk just hit 100, my Paladin, and am I forgetting one?
Probably.
I'm probably forgetting one. I have too many. I've definitely got a ton of extra characters if I decide that I want to do something else. My Priest hit 90, so she's getting up there too. And just really excited for just in another week being able to do Demon Hunter. So kind of trying to get prepped for that. Other than that, I played a little Smash in the SS Game Buoy, Pokemon Go. But I mean, really, it's been kind of just WoW in hype mode for Legion and Demon Hunters.
Excellent. Excellent. Have you been playing any non-WoW games?
Yeah, I mean, not really lately.
Okay, that's fair.
That'll change. But right now, I'm just really hyped for Legion, really hyped for Demon Hunters. So I imagine once the initial leveling rush of Legion wears off, I'm going to be focusing more on, you know, some of the themes that I've put off this year. So
excellent. I'm obviously going to recommend you get around to playing watching Danganronpa so you can watch the anime. It's so good.
Oh, it's been on my radar forever.
Well, it definitely should be. All right. Well, I also want to point out, I downloaded the demo for One Piece Battle Coliseum. This is one we've been talking about a lot here on the show for the last few months.
Arc System Works
2D fighting game for 3DS. And I have to say, at least the demo soured me on this game. I did not care for it. The fighting was very shallow, very slow moving. It reminded me a lot of the Dragon Ball Z fighting game they did for 3DS last year, except it moves even a little slower than that, and has fewer special moves, as far as I can tell. So I was not thrilled, and that went from a must buy to a let's see how that one reviews. So yeah, definitely something I was a little disappointed in. Saigi, anyway, do you have a some social links to hit me with?
We do. There's apparently a new thing on the social interwebs called famous.af, and it basically lets you give props to things that you're fans of, like Ariana Grande and such. But we have Your Enzyme said, LOL, okay, I invested 1,250 heart in GameBuoy.org on famous.af.
Aw, thank you. We
and
heart
Dan
you.
And Dan Diaz said, I invested 1,809 hearts in GameBuoy.org on famous.af. So I'm trying to look at this famous.af. Currently, the biggest fan is listed as Your Enzyme. So, Dan Diaz has some competition there.
Ooh.
And Must Love Game saying, I'm sorry, was that a Hamlet 2 reference on the last episode of GameBuoy.org? Hashtag sexy Jesus. And all I have to say to that is, I want to party with you, Jesus.
Yes.
Our last piece of feedback coming in here from Your Enzyme saying, we're going to need another WoW episode soon. Your Enzyme has been playing over our server, and leveling up there pretty fast.
And you know, I will say, we used to have a strict no referencing our server rule on air. We played with a lot of real life friends. As it is, we haven't been playing with real life friends as much. We are definitely more open now to those of you out there in internet radio land playing with us. If you'd like, reach out to us, and you know, we'd be happy to talk with you and shoot you a guild invite if you're serious about joining up.
Yep.
We do plan on doing some light raiding once Legion is live, if we can get a group for it. No promises.
You know, that even
but
said, if you're already established on, like, I know a couple of our friends play Alliance on Proudmore, but if you're Alliance on another server, pretty much anything except Mythic, which is like the new version of what Heroic used to be, if you're wanting to like run like even a five-man dungeon, I'm sorry, five-man is sexist, a five-player dungeon, or like a looking for raid or something, or even like I feel like most of the difficulties of raids, like you don't have to straight up transfer servers, quit your guild, whatever. We would love to play with you.
Oh yeah, because you know you can do all that stuff now cross server. So let's play.
Yeah, the game
again,
is so different than it was 12 years ago.
We are definitely Alliance side. We are not Horde side. I know that we both have characters on Horde side, but no, that's not my thing.
Yeah, I just say always come back to the blue and gold.
Awesome. All right.
And
well,
that's it. So with that, is it time to?
It's time for the exit lewd.
Yeah. So as ever and always, we love your feedback.
We love it.
We love your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes, and we effing love Twitter.
We do. We effing love Twitter.
You know where it's at now. You can mail us at
GameBuoy.org. .org spelled out DOTORG.
You did that better than me. I was getting tongue-tied here. You can mail us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
And our home base is GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
But you can also find us in almost every case first run on where?
Well, that's over at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, and in addition to hearing us stream over on VogNetwork.com, you can also hear Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female perspective on the world's most popular MMO, as well as Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we have stolen basically all of our ideas. You can also hear me and Shayna Lenko talk about the current season of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers meta series and the Japanese Super Sentai series upon which it's based over on the Ranger Pride cast on VogNetwork.com. And rounding out our VOG Network shoutouts, you can check out the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. In other shows we think you should check out, see the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, as well as X Nation, their sister show, and an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. I'd be remiss not to mention the currently on hiatus Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man, and Slag Kicks Project, Reading is Fundamental, where he, myself, Rob Roberts, Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talk about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race. That'll be coming back at you later this month. Slaggy, take us a place.
I'm going to take you to a game bar. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness. VG Realness serves up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. Not always weekly, but we'll keep that between us. We have La Palanca Podcast, Podcast Pori para Gay Gamers Latinoamericanos in Espanol, the Joystick Jockeys, two LGBTQ gamers who love games and love talking about them and are definitely LGBTQ cuties. And then our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. And the DSZ Podcast, where game movie super fans Dan and Crystal level up their game development skills and discuss the daily grind along the way on a non-daily schedule. And last but certainly not least, our not on hiatus, but we do recognize it's a little behind schedule, Anime Buoy, our sister show, your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I believe on our last episode, we mentioned that we're moving towards a once-a-month format for that, just to kind of have a better focus on anime. So please look forward to our little Anime Buoy resurfacing very soon.
Indeed. Anything else?
Our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. Unfortunately, they closed their doors quite a while back, but we'll forever be pouring a 40 in the Great Fairy Fountain in memory of them.
All right, guys and girls, thank you so much for being here with us this lovely Sunday afternoon. We really appreciate you taking your time to spend some time with us. I hope you've had half as much fun listening, even half as much fun listening. Hopefully you had more fun listening than we've had talking to you, although this week that'd be hard because we've had a really fun week this week. That having been said, we'll be back at you in 2 weeks, but until then, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And we don't want to start any blasphemous rumors, but we think that God's got a sixth sense of humor.
Now you're playing with power.